The text is the Gospel reading from St. John. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is, the Sea of Tiberias, and a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the miraculous signs he had performed on the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with the disciples. The Jewish Passover feast was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 8 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up, "Here's a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will they go among so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down. There's plenty of grass in that place," and the men sat down, about 5,000 of them. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. After the people saw the miraculous signs that Jesus did, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world." Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him a king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. Here ends our text. In the collect for this week, we pray that we may so pass through things temporal that we lose not the things eternal. All people are passing through things temporal, the here and now. But only the Christian can pass through time while holding on to eternity. But it's a struggle. The struggle comes from the fact that when faced with temporal problems, we calculate. Like Philip, we know how many mouths there are to feed and the cost of bread needed to feed them. Like Andrew, we know what resources we have on hand to do the feeding. Calculating is how we deal with temporal problems. Only irresponsible people don't calculate. Only lazy people don't pay attention to numbers, facts, and options. But what happens when things don't compute? What happens when our calculations leave us bankrupt? There's Andrew punching numbers into his calculator. We have this many thousand people. Bread costs this much per loaf. Then his face falls. Where could we buy bread for so many people? Even if there was such a place, we'd need 8 months' salary to buy it. And there's Andrew inventorying their resources, checking what they have with what they need. His face falls too. One boy has 5 barley loaves and 2 cooked fish, but how far is this going to go among so many? As we pass through things temporal, we will run into problems. Health, wealth, job, family problems. Being responsible people, we start calculating. And we find our resources insufficient, our plans unworkable. The temporal presents such a big problem to us that it stops us dead in our tracks. We're no longer passing through temporal things. We're mired in them. Picture a hand opening and letting go. That's Philip, that's Andrew, that's us, letting go of things eternal. That's despair. All we know is the temporal before us. We see nothing eternal. The sunlight of eternal bliss, of eternal salvation, of the eternal God is blocked out by a temporal problem that is so huge to us because we don't have the resources to deal with it. You can tell that this is what's going on in the text because although the one whom they confess to be the Son of the Most High, although the one they confess to be the Messiah is standing right next to them, they don't turn to him with their temporal problem, nor do we. When our calculations show that we don't have the resources to address a temporal problem, well, that's it. There is no answer. There is no hope. There's only despair. And to despair is to deny the eternal. To despair is to say that the temporal, i.e. the temporary, is eternal. And despair never stops with just feeling bad, depressed, or hopeless. No, it moves on into doing shameful, wicked things. A man despairs of his financial problems and so steals. A woman despairs of her marriage problems and so cheats. A teen despairs of his grades and so gives up on school. A person despairs of their sinfulness being forgiven and so gives free rein to their sins. Despair shouts at us that we are alone in time with our problem. The eternal Christ shouts even louder that we're not alone. He is here with us. There is no temporal problem or situation that you face that the eternal Christ does not already know what he's going to do about it. Though the temporal has morphed into this ugly beast, permanently blocking your road to eternity, it doesn't look that way to Christ. In fact, according to the text, Christ is the one who pointed out the ugly beast in the first place to Philip and Andrew. They've been blissfully passing through temporal things, happily listening as Jesus taught a Bible class. Then, Jesus brought up the food problem. A problem he knew they couldn't solve. A problem he knew he would solve for them. Jesus had brought the problem up to test Philip. See, there's a game going on here. It's the game fathers and mothers often play with their children. The parent presents a problem to the child to see how or if the child will solve it. When the child is young, it's hiding the object under a towel. When they're older, it's stealing their nose. The eternal God does the same thing with his children. Only we have trouble believing it's really a game. We don't see that he's in control of it as much as we are when we play with our children. That's because God hides not our blocks, but he hides the bodies of our loved ones in the ground. He steals not our noses, but our health. Yet he knows what he's going to do. He knows this temporal loss, this temporal pain is not his eternal answer. He brings it to us so that we might learn to turn to him. See, those huge temporal things that are blocking your way, those temporal problems, temporal pains, temporal difficulties, temporal afflictions that have made you let loose of things eternal. Throw away your calculations. Throw away your assessments. Throw away your conclusions. Throw away your conclusion that this can't be any joke, that God can't be playing with you now. This is too serious of a game. Well, let me ask you, what is more serious than eternal death? What is more serious than an eternal problem? Yet what did God do? He sent his only son into time, into your temporal world, to deal with your eternal problem. You were going to hell. No ifs, no ands, no buts about it. That's the only place you could go. Every broken commandment sentenced you to an eternity of suffering and death. Only by keeping the commandments perfectly could you step out of hell. Only by paying for sins could you make it to the next level. But by struggling to keep the commandments, by suffering to pay for them, you only went ever deeper into the quicksand of hell. You had no answer, you had no hope, you had no faith that you could solve this eternal problem till God the Son stepped into your time, into your shoes, into your commandments. He lived every commandment perfectly and willingly took as his own the suffering, the dying, and the damning that you owed. He solved your eternal problem. Broken commandments can no longer accuse you. They've been kept by Jesus. The debt of your sin cannot weigh on your conscience because it's been paid by Jesus. Now then, does the God who came in flesh and blood to deal with your eternal problems abandon you to temporal ones? Paul says that the God who gave up his only son for us graciously gives us all things. Can't you see the grace in the text? What were the thousands of people thinking when they followed Jesus into a remote place? What poor planners they were not to take food for themselves or even their own children. Yet Jesus graciously took care of the temporal problem they bought on themselves without lecturing them that they should have known better. What about the calculating disciples? Jesus saw to it that their temporal problem worked for them, as Paul says it does, a far more eternal weight of glory. Here they were in all seriousness showing Jesus how things could not possibly work out. Here they were ignoring the eternal one who came to save their bodies and souls. Here they were despairing over this temporal problem. Despair hurts. Yet Jesus was just playing with his children. Quickly, Jesus solved the temporal problem and provided a leftover basket of food for each one of those despairing disciples. In a problem they were hopeless to solve, the eternal glory of their God in Christ was revealed. I think they laughed. They're taught an important lesson. The lesson is better to grow in the grace of holding on to the eternal rather than getting better at calculating the temporal. The disciples' temporal calculations didn't lead them back to the eternal Christ. They could only conclude, as we do, that their problem was hopeless. But Jesus kept right on speaking, didn't he? Despite their misbelief, despite their unbelief, Jesus said to them, "Have the people sit down." Oh, there's a solution for how to feed thousands of people. Just have them sit down. What sort of solution is that? But the disciples did as Jesus commanded. All four gospel accounts of this miracle note the disciples did what Jesus told them. That's significant for us. That's why all four gospels point it out. While passing through this world, while confronted with temporal problems that we cannot solve, handle, or face, follow the commands of the eternal Christ. And right here is where most of you stumble. You think the commands I'm referring to are the Ten Commandments. Well, those most certainly are the commands of the eternal Christ. And so you think, my temporal problems will be solved if I just follow these eternal commands. Now, it's true. When faced with a problem, follow the revealed word of God by all means. However, it's wrong to say, my temporal problems will be solved if I just follow the commandments. That's the same as saying, I'm saved by good works. No, you're not. You're saved by Christ. The commands Christ specifically left those he saved are not the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments he left for everybody. That's why you can find them posted in public places. The commandments Jesus specifically left in time to those he has saved for eternity are the commands to baptize, to absolve, and to commune. We're faced with the temporal problem of family fighting, and we despair of our sinful nature ever able to make things work. Retreat to the baptismal command that assures you the sinful nature you can never conquer has been drowned in your baptism. We're faced with the temporal problem of our sinful worrying, making everything worse, and it does. We despair of being anything other than a worrywart. Retreat to the absolution the Lord has commanded you to hear, and know that though you can see nothing but a worrier, God sees nothing but a holy child. We're faced with the problems of sickness, of age, and death, and we despair of life because we don't see or feel any life at all in us. We retreat to the command to commune often and know that Jesus gives you life and salvation in and by his body and blood. Friend, these three tangible, physical things, baptism, absolution, and communion, these are the eternal things you are to hold on to as you pass through this temporal life. The Christian life in this temporal world is a constant going to and coming from these three things as we move ever closer to the eternal world. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.